Hey there. Welcome to Cageless, a conversation podcast about experiential wisdom and personal hope. I'm Jenny Johnson. I'm a writer, and I'm asking experts, thought leaders, and my friends to share their knowledge and tools on how they found freedom. Hey, hi, hello. Good morning. Good night. Bon nuit. I'm learning French, which is so fitting for today's episode because we talk a lot about learning and a lot about unlearning, who God is, who you are in your body, in your mind, in your spirit. And I just cannot wait for all of you guys to listen to this episode. Please stick around. The audio on my end is a little bit wonky, but I promise you that it is worth listening. Without further ado, here is Miss MJ Renshaw.
I feel like this has been a long time coming. I say a long time coming since her and I have been virtual friends. I am personally so excited to have this conversation just because I feel lucky to be in the same web room as her. So I think all of you are lucky to get to listen to this as well. This is Megan Jane. She goes by MJ Renshaw, a scientific and spiritual expert. She teaches a course called The Being Method, which explores the intersection between science and spirituality. She is a mother. She deeply loves horses and can be found down by the lake typically. Hi, MJ. How are you today?
I am bathing in autumn sunshine. How are you?
I'm so good. What could be better? I'm so envious of that. It's raining where I am. So, okay. So MJ, tell me where you are in the world right now.
I'm in Toronto. Well, not in Toronto. I'm north of Toronto on Lake Simcoe in Canada. That's in Canada.
And how in Canada. And how did you end up there?
I was born like very close to here. I grew up on a like hobby farm. We had an apple orchard and horses and the whole like, and I did the thing that you do where you're like, I never want to be back here again. And I moved away. I went to Montreal. I went to France. I, you know, went everywhere but home. And then finally with my Saturn return, I just was like, I feel like I'm going to get a major upgrade if I move back to the lake where I grew up. And we bought a house here, and that's how I ended up here.
Here you are. Okay. So you're talking about Saturn return. Obviously, you are a person of science and spirituality. Can you tell me how that kind of came to be and the origin of your belief system?
I think it always made sense to me as a kid. Like, I think all kids are very magical. And I think we tap into these truths that exist where you're like, I can talk to animals, and an adult might be like, no, you can't. But I think kids are so sensitive that, oh, you hear?
Speaking of which.
But kids are so sensitive. Yeah. They can pick up on frequencies that maybe adults have forgotten about or have tuned out. So I think that I always had this like knowing of things. And as I got older, I wanted to be able to understand it scientifically. So at first, I went to university and studied the arts, and then I switched into the sciences for 5 years and did a postgrad, and just became insatiable with studying science and understanding the human body and understanding, you know, as much as I could. Obviously, science is a big topic and I'm not by far an expert, but I just wanted to start to explore these things that felt true and if there was evidence for them. And it's been really fun.
So that's a really interesting intersection, because typically, at least in my human experience here, people usually either believe in truth or they believe it like solidified truth, or they want to believe in like how they feel. And usually it's difficult for those two to marry one another. How have you navigated that? Like with both sides, do you consider it like left brain, right brain, or just like the entirety holistic, like human experience and being accepting of it? How do you like navigate those two polar opposite ends?
I think that I think that humans used to understand that they were married before. I think that we've forgotten because a lot of the systems that we have that kind of rule society today are like capitalism or patriarchy, and there's nothing wrong with them, but they are very left brain. They are very one type of energy. Like our whole scientific method is based on epistemology. Like we want to be able to, only if we can see it and count it, is it true? And we assume that the things that we can't see are not true, when really it actually is maybe true or maybe not. Like it's, we don't know. And people have kind of forgotten that there is this space of wonder and possibility. It does, just because science, our, you know, microscopes and our telescopes, they're limited. They're not perfect. And just because they can't see something and take a picture of it doesn't mean it's not there. And there's something to be said too about valuing these forgotten arts, which are intuition, which are, you know, going deep into meditation, having inner knowing. Those, that's epistemology too. Like there are inner truths that people have. And I always say, like, love. We, most of us have experienced love. We know that it is very real. It's a real feeling, but we have no scientific explanation for it. Or I also like to use the example of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, it is a spiritual program. So you don't take supplements, you don't go on a diet, you don't take pharmaceuticals, and it is the most successful thing at treating people with an alcohol addiction. You can go to any rehab, expensive rehab around the world, and it does not have the success rate as like a church basement with a couple guys named Bill. Like it's kind of wild how we just forget that there is this like spiritual aspect to life, this intuition that happens in community, and it is, we have the studies to prove that it's real and it creates change, but we just like la 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 some of it. So I think my whole life purpose so far has been to be like, yes, science, I love science, but also let's look at the heart, let's look at intuition, let's value those things as well, because art is valuable, and you know, having a spiritual connection in your life is very valuable. So that's been my kind of my path so far, is to be like, I love both these things. Let's stop fighting.
Right, exactly. And I think that along with like Alcoholics Anonymous, there is so much acceptance found whenever you, there's so much acceptance when you can find that things get a lot easier with integration rather than separation, and allowing all of the resources that we have here on earth to, I guess, be put into action rather than like, you know, fighting. You know, it sounds so cliche, like, can we all just like not fight, I guess? Which also, I love that you're Canadian. So that's like so on brand for you to be like, let's just like all get along, you know?
Yeah. I mean, fighting is good sometimes. Like, I think a lot, if we look historically, like a lot of people wouldn't have gained freedom if they hadn't have fought for it. And I really recognize that. But I think in terms of deciding, you know, what is more valuable, the left brain or the right brain, the masculine energy or the feminine energy, the logic or the intuition, it's just it's a worthless fight to have, because they're both so valuable and so useful. And if we really, 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 really valued them, our world would look massively different, because we are kind of lopsided to one side right now. And it is, you know, I think there is a rising of people who are thinking like, oh, like we are devoid of spirituality, and it's actually quite helpful. I think I see that. It might also be my algorithm. But yeah, I think the marriage of the two, I mean, I'm biased, it's felt really good for me, but I think it can be life-changing for people.
I think so too. And you mentioning that maybe like we are on the brink of a social renaissance in terms of the way that things are working politically as a world, and as someone who I've been traveling the past 6 months post-COVID around the world, mostly in Europe, but seeing how differently people are interacting with one another and also viewing North America, because from my perception, from as a working journalist, it's like people are starting to even view this like very powerful part of the world as like, actually, maybe you guys have it wrong. Maybe ambition and striving and, you know, the very like Trump wave generation social situation that's been going on. Wait, that might not actually be the best way to navigate things. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, us that are over here are starting to notice that a little bit quicker, you know, but I love that you brought up Alcoholics Anonymous, which is something that MJ and I have talked about before, just because I think it's an experience that I'm personally not a drug or alcohol addict, but I am someone who has been a part of Eating Disorders Anonymous. And as a person who has been in recovery from anorexia, it has been life-changing for me. And I do think that there is a difference between eating disorders and substance abuse. That's a different conversation. But what has been your experience with learning how to, like we said, like change, I guess, the mindset shift of like, I'm not going to be fixed by a pill, because a pill is kind of what started the problem, or like what has been a part of the problem in the first place. How do you view, like, I guess, spiritual methods versus like pharmaceutical or like communal methods versus like rehabs, I guess?
So it was through my husband. When him and I started dating, we both were intensely spiritual and really connected on being able to talk about those things. I had never done a 12-step program, but he had, and he was probably about, you know, 7 years sober when we met. And my husband was like, these are his words, not mine. I would never say this about someone, but he was a homeless junkie. Like, he lived on the street. He used intravenous drugs. Like, and if anyone has experience with someone like this in their life, you know that those people don't typically come back. They don't come back into society. It's extremely difficult. And I was just in awe of him and his transformation, especially because I had a dad who was an opiate addict and didn't come back. He ended up committing suicide. So I was like, wow, like, I want to know about this process. So I started doing, also had anorexia. I started doing, and I had struggled with it forever, like since I was a kid, basically in and out of treatments. Nothing really seemed to actually work, because a lot of it was quantitative. You have to eat a certain number of calories, and once you hit a certain BMI, you're magically healed. And it doesn't work like that. You can have anorexia and be any BMI. You can have anorexia and eat any amount of food. It is what I like to think is a spiritual problem. It is not a food problem, really. I know that's really offensive for people to say or to hear, but that's just been the truth of my experience. So I went into a 12-step program for that. I got a sponsor. I went through the steps, and it transformed my relationship with my own body and with food. I like can honestly look anyone in the eye and tell them that I found freedom, and I found a method to work through any problem in my life. And I think anybody who's honest with themselves can say that they have an addiction to something. It could be your phone, it could be overspending, it could be complaining, like it can be anything. We can have addictions to anything. They're just coping mechanisms that we use to, you know, fill a God-filled hole, as some people would say, or not face your emotions. So I did that, and that was probably about 4 years ago now. And like you said, it completely transformed my life. Like, I'm a totally different person. I would say like 90% of my day used to be wasted on thinking about, like, you know, all those things and obsessing. And now I don't even think about it. And it's amazing. I've even stopped drinking. I never really had like a big drinking problem, but it's just helped me release literally anything in my life that doesn't serve me. I can look at something and be like, you know, this actually isn't bringing me to the place and who I want to be. So why would I have it in my life? And I just let things go, because I know that I've got a higher power, and my higher power's got me, and we're a team, and I'm here to do big things. And unfortunately, those things aren't going to get me there, so I'm going to drop them. And it feels really, I love 12-step. I think it's I think everybody should do it.
Yeah, that's a really powerful statement that you had said about you and your higher power are a team. That is very, that's not a typical viewpoint, at least in my experience, for a lot of people who, at least in my experience, for a lot of people that have struggled with addiction or substance abuse, because it's usually like, oh, your higher power is better than you or higher than you. But in my personal spiritual and religious practice, I do believe in the integration of, as a Christian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ living inside of me. So I'm a co-heir, like I'm a co-creator with my creator. And this is really hard to put rhetoric around, because spirituality is not a physical or like a literal language. But I would love to know a little bit more of your journey of like how you distinguish what a higher power is to you.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing about AA as well. Not to talk only about AA, but I used to think it was a Christian program. And then I learned that you actually, like, it's very strict in the big book. It's non-denominational. Yeah. So doesn't matter. They just use the G word.
Right.
And you have to build your own higher power. And I remember staying at a cottage with my husband, and we took out pens and papers and we wrote down, what is our higher power like? And my higher power was filled with love. My higher power was forgiving, like all these attributes that I want, like just like this totally powerful love force. And maybe it was a woman. And it was just like so nice to just be like, okay, I don't have to envision the same old man in the sky that everybody else does. It can be completely unique to me and what makes me feel good. And yeah, like you said, like I believe that that's inside of me too. I think I was created in that image, and I've learned to really see myself as a child of God and see myself as like, would I think that God made something imperfect? No. So I'm trying, and it's a daily process, obviously, to see myself as being perfect in the image of God, see everybody else, every experience that I'm having as being perfect in the image of God, and be grateful for that. And yeah, that process of creating my own higher power so that it's in my words, it's the attributes that I like and the attributes that I want, so that I can be like, I can return to it and look in my journal and say like, okay, I feel separated from God. That is my fault. I separated. God's over there. I can choose to separate or tap back in. And that's my choice in that, right? So when I feel like I'm like, oh, I'm getting anxious, or I feel, woo, I'm like, oh, I got to tap back into that infinite source of like love that's just right there that I can choose. And I choose to do that. And I can hopefully embody some of those attributes into my life, because that's my goal.
Yeah. And as you were saying, like whenever you feel imbalanced in any way, I think that we live in a world, like we were talking about dimensions, that there's always, I'm at least a believer that evil does exist, and there are forces and, you know, things in this world that are wanting to take you away from the good. And I think that drugs are a huge, huge catalyst to that. I think that, you know, disordered eating. I think that a lot of things that people struggle to latch on to are kind of what are taking you away from like the higher good or like the love source. But I also know that a lot of people struggle with you and God, as you named his characteristics or her characteristics, as you view them. So people with, you know, religious trauma, especially, you know, the phrase is, you know, tell me what you think about God and I know everything about you. Because if you believe that God is this old man in the sky with a carrot in one hand and a broomstick in the other, there's a chance that you're leading your life that way. And it's really important to adjust your view to God as how you would also like to view yourself, because the creator of the universe, you know, if you want to believe in good and love and kindness and the things that I would hope that anyone would like to become, if they're really, really honest with themselves, is going to want to reflect that. How have you, with someone like another gal who struggled with like disordered eating, and anorexia is a really twisted disease, how have you started to look at yourself as like this goddess or like this being of love versus quite also literally the opposite. Like we said, like signs and spirituality, you know, like divine love and being versus like scarcity and starvation.
Oh, that's a big question. I think it's been a process. So part of it was acknowledging that the denial of myself and constantly trying to change myself and control myself, what that separation that existed in my life was my lack of faith. So, you know, I really like this guy, Chuck Chamberlain, and he's big in the AA world. I think he's passed now, but he always says, you've only got one problem. Like there's many different addictions, but there's only one problem. And the problem is your conscious separation from God. And I was consciously separated from God. And I, you know, you have to make an amends, or you have to make a list of resentments. God was always at the top of mine because I had a tough life growing up. Like it was really hard. I lost my dad to drugs. I lost my big brother in an accident. I, you know, dealt with sexual abuse when I was younger. I felt like the world was a terrible place. And I was like, God, how could you do this to me? Like this was not a good childhood. And I felt like I was constantly struggling to see the good and the light in things. When I went through the process of forgiving that God and my God, like the God that I view, I really found that I started to forgive myself. Like it was always a mirror for me. Like you said, tell me what you think about God and, you know, it'll tell me everything I need. So I think when I brought myself closer to like a higher power, I brought myself closer to myself and I started to, you know, have more love for myself, have more forgiveness for myself. I started to feel confident to face the emotions that I was scared of facing and, you know, kind of like trust and surrender and stop trying to control everything so much and stop trying to control my body. A lot of that stuff is wrapped up with capitalism. It's wrapped up with patriarchy. It's wrapped up with, you know, our religious beliefs or spiritual beliefs or what have you. And also like studying women in spirituality has really helped me, like reading books like Mary Magdalene Revealed or reading spiritual books written by women or looking at the history of women in religion, which we've basically been completely taken out of or completely numbed down. So looking at the Gnostic texts and looking at like, okay, women used to be revered. We used to be powerful. We actually used to even lead some cultures. And these were the most peaceful cultures that existed in Turkey way back in the day. And understanding that there is like immense power to our bodies. And, you know, I came to really look at the female form and look at my own form and have immense respect for myself. And oh my gosh, becoming a mother also, like it's hard to not look at yourself and be like, I am amazing. Like I built a baby and she's perfect. And so a lot of different life things, but in essence, the closer I got to God, and my God doesn't really have a gender. The closer I got to God, the closer I really, yeah, just saw myself as being perfect the way I am. Like I'm perfect. I don't have to worry and stress and change myself. And I trust my body. I love my body. I know she's going to do what she needs to do to heal. I don't have to control what she eats or how much she eats or anything like that. Like I just listen to her and respect her and deep love for her, just as I have deep love for God.
That's so good. I think that it is Glennon Doyle that says that love can't exist within control. So like whenever you aren't trusting your body, you're saying like, I want to control this. It's like, oh, you're not trusting your body, so you're not loving your body. And I think that can kind of go with a lot of things about us as humans. Tell me a little bit about the being method and how you have incorporated this belief system that you have into helping other people.
Yeah, so the being method is the course on Science of Spirituality, and we certify people to be breathwork facilitators and energy healers. And essentially what I try to do, I teach all the courses. What I try to do in the being method is we really, really go deep and explore physiology, anatomy, and science. And the reason why we do this is because a lot of us don't learn the cool stuff in school. Like maybe if you went to university for it, but what I'd like to do is show, like, when we go into this deep logical world, there's a lot of magic here, and we can even explore different theories. And a lot of the newer studies, like the last couple decades, are showing that, like, there is a lot of magic in this world. We don't know anything about the human body, basically. We just found, like, a new sinus in 2020, which is, like, kind of unbelievable. So what we do in the course, and like the way the whole course is run, is just to really help you understand that you can trust your body. We look at the science for it and show you, like, your body's going to heal. Your body is trying to heal. And the more you surrender, the more you trust, the more you love, the more you live in your, like, in alignment with your path, the faster that's going to happen. It doesn't take force. It doesn't take you shaming and guilting yourself into it. The more you connect with yourself and create this love bubble around yourself, the more you're going to be able to step into the career you want, heal the symptoms that you want, and things like that. So that's kind of the basis of the course. I really try to put an emphasis on obviously the logical side of things, but also I really focus on intuition and helping people understand that that's a very valuable thing to develop and listen to. And I love both sides of that stuff. So it's very integrated into the whole course.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that it's a really powerful thing that you have decided to use all of the knowledge and wisdom that you've accumulated and, like, give it to other people rather than being like, I'm the all-knowing leader that's going to tell you exactly what to do, instead of, like, you know, like, choosing empowerment over power. And I think that that is that's a really cool thing. Okay, MJ. Tell me a little bit about how your family system works, because I, in anyone who follows MJ, I'm quite fascinated in the type of life that you live, because you are obviously a very beautiful and, like, successful businesswoman, but you also live, like, the most vibey life, like, like, chilling by a lake, and, like, you have a baby, but, like, you're also really successful. Tell me a little bit, like, because, like I said, this is very countercultural, and I know that you're Canadian, but you're still North American. And, like, as an American girl, it's like, oh, we're kind of shifting out of this, like, girl boss lifestyle that's, like, actually not really what our bodies or minds were created to be like. Like, as someone who has struggled a lot with, you know, striving and achievement-based systems, What is your, like, tell me about your, like, life and how you got to this point.
Yeah, I will not gatekeep anything. There are books that I read that helped me design the life that I wanted. So 4 or 5 years ago, I was in an insane osteopathy program, and I was to be an osteopath, which would be an immense amount of work, long hours, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know if this is the life I want for myself. I love what I've learned, but the career aspect, it's like 12-hour days. I would leave my student clinic, like, in tears. And it was just like, I was like, this is not life to me. It's got to be something more. So I returned back to a book that I had actually read when I was 21 and put down and didn't implement in my life at all. And it was Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. So I used a lot of the knowledge in that book to build passive income systems for myself. I know I sound like a multi-level marketing person right now, but I'm not trying to sell anything like that. I was just really liked the idea. Like, there's certain people who are, like, Tim Ferriss, for instance, he has built a certain life for himself that allows him freedom. And freedom is something that I really, really highly, highly value. I knew I wanted to be a mother, and I wanted to be with my children. My mom worked very, 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 very hard, but she didn't get to spend a lot of time with us. So I knew, you know, I wanted to do things a little bit differently than she did. So as of right now, my work schedule is, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, 3 hours those days in the morning, and I have a nanny come in, and my husband works full time. He leaves the house. And then for the most of the day, I am just being a stay-at-home mom, which is, you know, also work, but kind of fun. And I also run these businesses, but most of them are built in such a way where I can have a very small team help me with most things. And a lot of them are like subscriptions or selling online courses so that they can have like a passive income element to them. So for instance, I have the Being Portal, which is a subscription to Breathwork, and that's already built and it continues to sell every day. So every day I'm getting paid, but I don't necessarily have to put in the hours every day to pay. And the reason why I always talk so candidly about this is because I have friends with Lyme disease. I have friends who are stay-at-home moms. I have friends who are men who work in toxic work environments, and being able to do things like this, anyone can do it. It doesn't take some sort of computer mastermind. Just buy the Tim Ferriss book. Think about maybe things that you would want to do. Like, I have a friend who's a teacher. She created like teaching beautiful, you know, things that she sells on Etsy, and she was able to quit her teaching job just to like live her truth, which was what she's like, I like designing better. So she started designing stuff and now she has more freedom. So the internet provides us with these opportunities. And I mean, my life obviously is very vibey, but it also has hard stuff. Like, I'm a mom, and that, you know, I didn't sleep much last night. And I also deal with like normal people things. But yeah, I wanted to have more freedom. I wanted passive income. I want to be able to travel and still make money while I travel. I want to be able to, you know, do all the things I want to do without having to sacrifice my entire life to work a job I don't really feel aligned with. Life is so short, so precious. If you've got something that you want to do, by all means, please do it. The world probably needs it. I think that we get these downloads from source energy and they tell you an idea, and it's almost your duty to act on them, because this is an idea that could probably be for the betterment of humankind. Yeah, that was kind of my process to building and designing a very particular life for myself that I wanted.
Oh, that's so good. And I love that you use the word alignment, because isn't that kind of what all of us are aiming for, is to be aligned and to be balanced? And, you know, I have a lot of bones to pick with the word happy, but I do think that like aiming towards contentment at 90% of your life, because you can never stop a baby from crying at 2 a.m. I say this, I'm not a mom yet. I'd love to be, but I'm sure that you can attest to that.
You'll love this, because she actually doesn't wake up and cry. She wakes up and claps, because she learned how to clap recently. So she'll sit up. I sleep with her. She'll sit up in the bed and just start like
clapping.
That's
so funny.
And I'm like, yeah, good job.
Happy to be here. Happy to be here. Oh my goodness. Can you tell us where we can access the Being Portal, where we can access you online, and how to come in contact with you?
I am in the middle of rebranding, so I don't want to say anything too static, but I will always have an Instagram, and my Instagram is Being Method, and I will have everything in the link in my bio there.
Also, guys, MJ is sometimes, you know, on the internet, you can get lost in the sauce, and it's important to design your algorithm and follow people that bring goodness into your feed, because these cell phone devices can be very powerful if you choose to use them correctly. I say correctly, you choose to use them for the betterment of yourself. Anyway, MJ is probably one of my favorite people that I follow, just because she brings so much insight, so much science, so much like fun tips and facts. And I have so many like screenshots of things that she's posted, or like will message, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, me, you know? So I hope that all of you guys follow her. Okay, MJ, very last question for you. If you could tell your younger self anything today, what would you tell her?
I would definitely just tell her, like, don't dim your light to try to fit in with the world. Just be your weird little self, because you'll come back to it anyway. So you may as well, like, not that I would change anything about my life, but it would be a lot shorter if I just stayed weird.
It's like the distance between knowing and doing. And it's like, if any of us can just like shorten that distance of just like you were saying, like being like the childhood version of yourself, but wiser. You know, there's no reason to try to be anyone else but yourself. You can find MJ on Instagram at Being Method, and catch up with us on Instagram at Cageless Podcast. We love you guys. Bye.